Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Red Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. WQHT and WQHT HD1 New York.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Hot 97.
Just don't call it a podcast. Here we are. We're live. It is the show after the show live program show. I don't know if that's the official title. I screw it up every week. Greetings. My name is Ebro. We have Laura Stiles.
Hi.
We don't have Rosenberg, who is the main promoter of the Live After the Live program show starting at 9 a.m. It is currently 9 a.m. Oh, I look crazy.
Where is he?
Not where he's supposed to be. Laura, he can't even be on time at 9 a.m. Make it make sense.
What is happening?
Make it make sense, Laura Stiles. This is your friend. Don't you guys talk? You guys talk a lot, don't you? Y'all text all day, don't you?
No,
I thought y'all like chat. Don't y'all have like your own chat?
We text in the same group chat that you're in.
Nah, you guys do side combos and DMs.
No, I mean, we just send each other pet videos, but that's it.
See, I knew y'all was doing something.
There's no chatting. It's just a sending of a pet video.
We were talking about how you're late at 9 o'clock when you told us to make sure we went live at 9. You weren't where you're supposed to be.
Today was a situation that arose.
What happened?
It's just a situation that needed to be.
It's not for public consumption, Laura Stiles.
It just was a situation that needed to be done, and it was done. But I'm proud of the program show producers for just rolling, because guess what? You could start with, let we go live, baby. Live is live.
That's what I said. And you know what? They tried to wait for you, and I told them no. I vetoed.
I almost texted and said, hey, guys, I'm currently indisposed in El Baño.
Oh, I knew you was dropping off a shipment.
The whole show. We had a whole show. I drank my AG1. I had the green juice flowing through me.
There it is. Drop off a shipment.
So I'm back. Like I never left. No. Thinking about congestion pricing.
And you had to get out your congestion. You had some congestion you had to get out.
That's right, but it was free 99, baby.
Nah. What if one day they start paying, we have to pay per flush?
We'll get there.
Listen, I remember when water was free.
Yep.
I remember when what else used to be free out here? Water was definitely free. They're gonna start charging for quality air too, by the way.
Air too?
I think quality air is gonna become a thing. Where it's like, yo, if you wanna have like certain air in your home because the air outside is too toxic, you have to pay for that.
I could see that already.
Yardy 87 says, too many cars in New York City, and stop using your family member's address upstate to save on insurance. You can't afford the insurance. You can't afford the car, and that's fraud. Move to Yonkers.
Dang. Oh, we have people tuning in from North Carolina.
Crypto-ish writes, congestion. Tolls in the city will be the first to launch. Watch them start to pop up everywhere they feel is congestion.
Yeah,
that's happening.
Yes,
New York
is
the first American city to do it, but this is a thing. This is going to keep getting bigger.
Now, many years ago, we had de Blasio on. Remember, everybody hated de Blasio. Remember that? De Blasio was the worst. He was so bad. He was the worst.
He hates the city.
He hates the city. He's the worst. Anyway, he came on the air and he said there's about 500,000 to 1 million people moving to New York City. This was before the pandemic. And he said, if we don't do congestion pricing, the city is going to be broken. And so we have to figure out a way to keep cars, you know, make it harder for cars to drive in the city. Otherwise, it won't function. And so that around that time was when they started putting up, you know how like when you drive down Broadway in Soho, they have like those islands off, like they've made the street more narrow.
Yeah.
Or they've made the bike lanes larger so the streets are more narrow.
Mm-hmm.
It was back when they started doing that. So that way it made it harder for cars, more traffic. So they've been working on making this uncomfortable for drivers for many years. And now we're here.
But like, I don't know. I just don't know.
It's disgusting. Just say it's disgusting.
Well, I just feel like, listen, no one's going to cry for the people who can afford to live in Manhattan. But there's two things. One, when you pay to live in Manhattan, you're already paying a premium to be there. That to me is included in the price. There's a reason the places cost so much. But now they're hitting you again. And then you have other people who, A, live in Manhattan or north of Manhattan and don't have a lot of money and have to get downtown to work.
Yes, and there's plenty of project buildings all over Manhattan. How much money do you think those people make?
And they think
there's a reason why they're there.
People who don't know better think that only rich people drive in Manhattan. And that's just not true. Like, there are a lot of New Yorkers who just drive.
Well, how about this? To have multiple incomes and live in Manhattan or any close proximity to Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, whatever. Like, let's say you have to have multiple jobs. You have to be able to drive.
Right.
It's virtually impossible to work 2 and 3 jobs using public transportation.
Yeah. And if you have to go cross town, depending where
cross town, different boroughs. And the way the economy is now, I don't know many people who don't have we all have multiple jobs. I have 3 jobs.
That's right. You have a third job?
I have 3 jobs. I work 2 at Apple.
Oh, right.
And okay.
But I know. That's 2 jobs there.
I know. It's funny because sometimes I feel like I shouldn't talk because of, like, you know, quote, privilege. And then I'm like, at the same time, everyone makes fun of me because I work so many jobs to be able to be in that place. You can't just live. Yo, the people who used to sit in this job that we have right now.
$5 million a year, $10 million a year. We're not even sniffing that.
People were getting people were getting millions of dollars to do morning radio.
That's
with the success we have right now and the longevity we have. If it was 1990, I'd be making $20 million a year.
Oh, you think relative to the time? Nah, that's high though. That's high. I still think you went 20 because
number one in New York.
Well, but we're not always number one in New York, so.
We're number one men, morning drive. We're definitely number one, number two, number three, all people, 1834.
Top three.
And we've been doing it for 10 years, bro?
Right. Then you add the longevity factor, because I'm trying to think of what. Because did Star get $1 million?
I think so, yeah.
A lot of, yes. Yes.
I think. No, I don't know if he got multiple millies. I don't think he got multiple.
No, when he went to Power, he did.
Yes.
Not from Hot.
Yeah, not at Hot, though.
When he went to Clear Channel, he did.
And then
it was a very big check.
And then Ed, I think did Ed ask for $1 million here? I think Ed might have gotten $1 million here.
Mm-hmm.
But now, there was a lot more money in radio at the time.
Well, there was also a lot more endorsement money, right? So they might say, okay, hey, we're only going to pay you $1 million, even though you're worth 5, but you can go out and do whatever you want. You can put out albums. You can go get endorsements. We're going to support all that. You got your clubs and all your other money that you're going to get on the side. So, okay, maybe we're not giving it to you in salary, but we're giving you all this other real estate.
Right. Now you got to have 9 different jobs if you want to be popping.
Well, what do you mean popping? You mean pay your bills?
I mean have
you mean know, you pay your survive. Bills and have a little bit left over? Like what do you what's popping?
Yeah. I don't know. Have enough money to go on a vacation and throw a little in the bank.
Okay. That's popping.
Multiple jobs.
I think that's
Jonathan popping. Gonzalez writes, in all reality, they're gonna make billions, and where is it gonna go? I pay state taxes and city taxes. My insurance is high enough and the trains suck. To be honest, I haven't taken a train in over 5 years. Well, that's the other thing. So before we got off the broadcast and came to the internets with it, we was talking about how the mayor and I think the comptroller and some other people yesterday was talking about New York City had a surplus. They thought they were going to have to cut budgets. They were planning to cut budgets. They had all this stuff planned. And it looks like things turned out better for New York's financials than expected, and they're going to have a surplus, and they're planning to have a surplus over in years to come. Who's going to get the money? Are they going to use scare tactics to scare us into giving more money to the police? Are they going to continue to devalue public schools so that you don't want to give the money to your public school system? Where's the money going? The sanitation workers going to go on strike because they want a raise?
Yeah. What about EMT workers? They make nothing.
EMT workers, are we going to get them some money? Oh, are they going to continue to defund our public hospitals in the city, which are barely making it?
Are these EMT and first responders who don't get that much money, will they give them some sort of exemption on the tolls?
MHNYC writes, a city that makes a revenue stream from traffic has no intention to reduce traffic. In fact, it will need to increase revenue to justify its cost.
In fact, it will need to increase revenue.
So they probably assume.
FDNY was at the hearing, so I'm sure something's going on with them. So they don't care, bro.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of FDNY, those people often work for fire departments that are not where they live.
That's right.
Right.
There are a lot of, for example, there are a bunch of Manhattan fire departments, obviously. You think those cats all live in Manhattan?
No.
They're driving in from Queens and Brooklyn, Staten Island, wherever.
Facts. And teachers, too. Teachers barely make enough right now.
I wonder if at a certain point they'll get, you know, after this rolls out, they'll get to a point where city workers get some sort of deal.
You'd think that would be in the initial rollout, though, if you wanted to, like, get support. You'd think they'd say, hey, by the way, just so you know, don't worry if you're X, Y, and Z, you're going to be all right. I'm not gonna lie, guys. This life thing, mid-40s.
You making some changes?
Trying to have kids and have a family one day. I don't see how I'm gonna fall into the fucking ground working.
Let's move our operation to Jersey. I tried to get Laura to move to Jersey. She wanted that Brooklyn life.
Yeah. I really like it here.
Well, that's why you pay. See, and that's why they could charge you $15 to just come to Manhattan.
Yeah, but where you live in Jersey is very expensive.
Yeah, but I don't have to pay $15.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Wait, well, will you not have to?
No, I got to pay the toll. I got to pay the toll.
No, they just already get $15 from.
Yeah, like I don't have to pay another one. I don't think. I'm not sure. Honestly.
Yeah, I think that was a big fight from Jersey was saying once you get in, they, you know, Easy Pass will know and not charge you again.
Got it.
We're going to trust Easy Pass.
Oh, yeah. Why would you not trust Easy Pass?
Right.
Why? I mean,
but guys, don't. I have to Google this, but wasn't like Staten Island suing and like Jersey? A couple of people were trying to like in position are trying to fight this. Let me see.
I'm just saying. You know, I think people need to stop romanticizing living in New York City or you're going to pay for it. That's it.
Well, yeah.
Well, especially Manhattan.
Especially Manhattan.
And I don't believe they want anybody making less than $500,000 a year living in Manhattan anyway.
I mean, making $500,000 or less in Manhattan without sort of like subsidized income, obviously you can, but it ain't pretty.
Nah.
It really ain't. I mean, like, I feel like to live in Manhattan and live in a non, you know, project, like essentially you're paying full price. I feel like you need to be low six figures and that'll be a very, very modest life.
Well, or you got a plug on the rent control spot.
Or you're sharing an apartment with Matt. You know, you got four people in an apartment. You could do that still. You could have your three roommates.
Hot Rod Rick is inviting us out to Patterson, New Jersey. Shout out to Patterson. Patterson got some nice houses, man.
Yeah, man. Nah, Rick, that's you, bro. I'm going to let you live. Hold it down.
Griff is saying something that you got to make 40 times the monthly rent in order to qualify for rent. What, yeah. Griff? What are you saying?
I don't understand that.
Yeah, to get an apartment.
Oh, you got to make 40 times. So if the monthly rent is $3,000, mm-hmm. you got to make $120 to live is essentially what he's saying, or to qualify for it.
Just to qualify to get the apartment.
And that's not guarantee you're not going to get it if
It's not guaranteed. They're saying for us to consider you, it's $2,000 a month. We want 80. We want 80K in your.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
You know, not to mention, like, if you want to buy in these places, they want 25% down in cash very often, which is an incredibly high amount of money. Well, and also, you're going to lose out to all the bidders in the city are always all cash. You're up against these rich people. These may not even live here. They're from another country. It's an all cash offer.
Or it's just some kid who's, got some money. Parents don't care. Parents don't live here. They'll live whatever. They just want to party in New York City and have a spot to crash and get sobered up to go back out to the clubs again. They're not really living here.
It says 18 elected officials have joined a federal lawsuit by the teachers union aimed at blocking the new $15 congestion pricing to enter Midtown. But
yo, congestion pricing starts like May.
It's soon, bruh. But the funny thing is, it's such a process. I feel like the real talk is going to ramp up now. So there are going to be all these last minute attempts to fight it because it's gotten so real.
Daime writes, De Blasio, the good old days. People are eating their words with their wallets now.
People.
I don't know. I don't know if I buy that because I think De Blasio was supportive of congestion pricing.
He probably would be. It's a very progressive thing to support.
Well, yeah, because it's about the environment.
It's the environment. It's in theory the rich. In theory, it's people with money spending money to help the city. It's environmental. It should be a progressive topic. It just is one of those things that if you have a car, you're like 15 every time I get in the car. Right now,
I care about the trees, not the middle class people.
Well, like, for example, I went to dinner on a Saturday night.
Where'd Laura, you go?
Laura, you know those the Indian restaurants on First Avenue that have all the lights hanging?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
There's like three or four of them right next to each other.
Yeah.
We went to one of those spots. It's like it's downtown on First Avenue. Bro, it's like 6th and 1st or something.
I thought it was another place that ended in pickles. You're always at a place with a pickle.
Not a place with the pickle. So we went to this Indian spot, and my wife always wants to drive. She's from New York. We have a car. She wants to drive, always. So we drove, and we drove our friends. And we were like, nice, because now no one has to spend a $50, $60 Uber to go across town, because that's legitimately on a Saturday night. You're going to drop $50 each way on the Uber to go down and across. So it's just such an... For if you're a New Yorker, it's such a gut punch that now even when you're like, well, don't worry, we have a car, we'll do it. You're still going to pay to get
so
in your own
crazy.
Car.
It's like you're paying all that money to get $10 tikka masala.
It was the best. So the restaurant. So Natalie was disappointed in the food. She said it went downhill from the last time she went there. It wasn't as great as she remembered, which, by the way, if a meal's not good to my wife, I mean, the night is it's a struggle to even bounce back from this. But I'll tell you one thing. The four of us eating and being full, and the bill came, four of us, and the bill was $91. It felt like I was living in 1990.
Yeah,
I was
like, under $100
for four people.
That's crazy.
And if you guys are watching us right now and you're in another town, maybe you're thinking like, oh, really? Bro, if you're going out to dinner in New York City to a restaurant that's considered like, kind of like a thing, and it's four people. Oh,
$250.
$250, you did all right. Like, you did all right. What would that be? 75? No, that's less than 75 a person. So, like, 60 a person? You did pretty good.
Yeah.
And by the way, we didn't drink. It's those Indian spots are BYOB.
Me and Issa went to dinner the other night. It was me and Issa.
Just you and your nine-year-old.
Me and my nine-year-old. It was $80. She had a lemonade. I didn't even have a beverage. All we had was sparkling water.
She had a lemonade. Sparkling water is a beverage.
No. But I mean, I didn't have like a beer. I didn't have an adult beverage.
Okay.
We shared some wings, some ginger garlic wings. I had a little chicken burger thing, and she had a little pan roasted chicken thing with noodles that she wanted.
This is in Jersey or in the city?
Jersey.
Wow. It's crazy.
So with the tip, it crossed $90 for me and my nine-year-old.
This is so regular.
And by the way, it was a bar. It wasn't even a restaurant.
Right. Of course. This wasn't even their primary business.
No.
Should we bring in our guest?
The legend.
Why not? He knows something about what New York used to be like.
His name, PMD. That's Parrish. Making dollars.
That's correct. How's it going?
Look at all them plaques on the wall.
Hi.
See what time it is. P, what's good?
Yo, everything's good. Working hard out here.
Thanks. Hey, yo, P, thanks for joining the program. I'm looking at them plaques. That was from the crossover.
That's correct.
Crossover.
You too.
Yo, what's that plaque right above your head? That's all the albums in one plaque?
Yeah. That's like basically from Strictly Business, Unfinished Business, Business as Usual, Business Never Personal, but also Back in Business as well.
Yeah, a lot of business. And now I hear you're about to drop an album called Standing on Business.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Listen.
Back in the studio, back in front of the mic. So I kind of got caught, in the business side of things. But it all starts with the microphone and the beats. So that's full circle for me.
Now, are you making beats on this upcoming project you're working on?
Yes, but I'm also leaving it open like I always did, you know?
Yeah.
Now, this is a solo project.
Yes.
This is not an indicator of anything relating to you and Eric. This was just you, Parrish, being like, I want to drop a project.
That's correct. Come on, P, you know.
That's good. I just always want to check. I'm always here to make sure.
Definitely. For hip-hop, definitely all is good. It's about growing and moving forward, but also utilizing all your resources. So the times that we're in right now with the 50th hip-hop anniversary, we had fun out there, but we also ran into a lot of artists that felt that they should have got a lot more light. So that's what 2024 is, like kind of creating a way in 300 seaters, you know, P, back in the day, so they can get the look that they deserve.
Parrish, you and E. Sermons, he going to do any beats on this upcoming project you got?
Yeah, it's definitely possible, you know, because we still communicate and we still got shows and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm like 5 or 6 songs in. So once I get the frame of the album, then that's when I can start opening it up for outside production.
Well, today we're gonna put your new single up, you know, give that some love. And then put us onto this technology, a website. What are you doing now to sell music? You're doing something different?
Basically what it is giving back to the game that made me. So, you know, we had to look up to the guys before us, like the Cold Crush Brothers, you know, Wild Style, the very, very beginning. So now what's happening is instead of everybody having to look all over the place for me, it's consolidated in one place and the new single is available for free. So this run right here is more or less giving back to the hip hop culture that's been showing me love since 1987, but also giving light to cats that are still nice on that microphone. Cause when we did that show in New Jersey, Cold Crush Brothers tore it down.
I got to tell you, y'all tore it down on the concert Flex put together last year, the Hip Hop Forever.
Oh, yeah, that's right. In the Garden.
At the Garden.
How did that feel? Because we were all watching you from the side of the stage, and it felt special. What did it feel like to you guys?
Well, to be honest, it felt like being very grateful. Because as a child, you just imagine that. And then Run DMC would run with the Dita in the air. And then now we were fortunate to come through and be part of the 50th with Funk Fliggy. So again, it was like full circle.
Yo, shout to Lisa Love writes, hello at Parrish. Shout out to, we got a lot of people watching right now.
Oh, wow.
Now, Parrish, before Outkast and before Mobb Deep, EPMD was my favorite group of all time. Maybe still up there.
But right. The competition grew is what you're saying.
The competition grew because then later, you know, you get Tribe Called Quest. You get, you know, a lot of other groups. But, you know, when you guys came on the scene, making your own beats, writing your own rhymes.
Right.
How, you know, Rakim and Eric B, you know, they was cooking up with Marley Marl and things like that. But how many other people were actually cooking beats and writing rhymes at the time when you guys came in 87?
Not many that I knew. But I had it backwards in the beginning, just for the love of hip hop. I thought everybody wrote their own rhymes. I thought everybody produced their own beats. And it wasn't until the fourth album realized that sometimes people bring out outside production, and then sometimes people have ghostwriters.
Well, you was pretty heartbroken when you found that out.
No, actually, I was kind of happy because then I had my own sound. So yeah, I would have came in and other producers would have did it. Then it would have been all over the place. But with the consistency, was able to capture a sound, you know, that bottom in the funk.
I sometimes use you and Eric as sort of the standard of, you know, shit could go left sometimes.
Right. As it does.
Right. And as it has. And with you guys, it was such a famous breakup when you guys broke up. And the stories, the tumultuous times you guys went through were so out there in those days. And then you guys found each other again for Back in Business. And ever since then have been on and off working, doing shows, et cetera. Do you ever give advice? Because I've seen so many people, P, who just can't get it together. And it seems like so many acts we love have cost themselves money for their families by not being able to make it work. Have you ever given anyone advice on how you and Eric were able to finally figure out a way to make this thing work?
Well, no, this is the first time because we've been working our whole career. We never caught a break. You know, when Rakim and Eric B came in, they set the pace of dropping an album every 9 months. So because of COVID, it slowed everything down. And then it gave us time to catch up with ourselves. But it's all about respecting the blessing and remember back in high school when you didn't have a contract, the struggle. And when you keep it in perspective like that, then you're able to leave the communication lines open. Because again, sometimes at this point in your career, it's less about the music and making money, and it's more about what the culture did for you. So when you see the state of it, to make a long story short, being selfless as opposed to selfish. So that's why me and E is able to step out there and do what we got to do for the love of hip hop, because of what hip hop gave back to us.
What did it mean to you when Nas had a single a couple years ago? His first single off the album was called EPMD.
Yo, that was a sign, you know, that an artist that came in after us after 92 showed us enough love. And then behind that came the track with Eminem as well. So, So there was so much love. And it was kind of like, again, you have hip hop and then you have hip hop. And I looked at that song right there, was Nas was just showing us love.
Paris, do you have a favorite or maybe two or three favorite EPMD beats?
Yo, Evo, you fucking one, then you realize, right? That's kind of hard. But I know it is. Right? I would start with It's My Thing, because that's okay. Hip-hop, 7 minutes of funk. It's hard to move past You Gots to Chill.
Yeah. Ebro loves You Gots to Chill. We bring back You Gots to Chill quite
all
a bit.
All the time.
Yeah. Right. And then to keep it light, So What You're Saying.
Yeah, I mean, come on now.
So what you're saying is, I mean, that right there. Yeah, wait, who produced So What You're Saying?
Me.
That yeah, is... that's...
Yo, on the that's... way out, I was going to shoot the fader with Rampage. That's where I was at. So it's hard to limit it to one or two. And again, it's for the love for hip-hop. That's why we was able to accomplish all of that, you know? Your intro to it, once you get introduced to it, you got to make a promise to yourself. Like when you see the crowd, okay? When you see the record sales, when you see the love from the people in the hood, that nothing gets in the way of that. And plus, we're supposed to be learning from the history, from the 70s, from the 80s to the 90s, like before hip-hop.
Now, Parrish, do you remember the love EPMD got on the West Coast with that You Gots to Chill?
Yeah.
With that Roger track. Talk about, because, yo, I was living in Northern California at that time, 87, 88. And at the same time, I had NWA in the posse. So we was playing Dope Man and all that. And we had EPMD at the same time.
Yeah. Well, LA always, to this day, shows us so much love. One of my stories I remember at the skate ring, helicopters all above, me and he going there, a lot of fighting, you know. But at the end of the day, when we started with the choppers, the crown of Eric's watch came off. And then when the watch hit the floor, they stopped the music, picked the crown up, and just handed it back to us. And then we finished the show. And we know stuff like that don't happen. If your crown, gold crown, fall in the crowd, you ain't going to see it again.
Yes.
So that's one of the stories. And then, of course, the Roger Troutman zap, you know.
Yeah, of course.
It goes back to K-Day. Like, we was there in the early days rolling through California getting nothing but love.
But even the rope gold chain, the way y'all rocked y'all parts on the side of your head, the haircuts, all that was so, like, that was the style in Oakland and the Bay Area at that time. Like, the sweatsuits. It was, and then the backdrop of the music being funk like that, it was ringing off everywhere.
Well, the whole point was that we wanted to create something so we could feel approachable. Okay, so our whole attire to this day, we're approachable. But when it comes to the business and when it comes to the music, then we let that speak for us. Because when you become unapproachable, that's when you lose touch with the fan base.
Who made the actual bucket hat, the original bucket hat decision?
Yo, that's crazy. That's kind of like me and Eric, you know? And it's kind of like behind the Run DMC, so I got to give credit where credit is due, okay? And the same thing with the chains. When you go back to Rakim's first album, Paid in Full, that says it all when you look at the back cover, all the jewels. So when you came in the game, you came in knowing that you had to come with it heavy like Slick Rick. But nobody comes more heavy than Ricky, you know.
No. He was a different
definition of truck jewels. You know.
Hey, yo, Parrish, man, we appreciate you today. Listen, Parrish got a new single.
That's correct.
Is it going to be on the streaming services?
Oh, what you say?
Is it the singles on the streaming services too? Right.
Yes, I believe so. Or if you can't get it there, it's a free download on my new website, ParrishSmithPMD.com, and that's the whole purpose—just giving back. And also, so many people follow us, they want to learn. So if you can't get a major deal, you know, this is the type of thing where you don't have to sit back and wait for someone when you're independent. So with the single comes touring, and it can only get the lyrical skills tighter, the beats tighter, and no telling what can happen in the future, you know?
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Red Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
We had a couple of people jump on, asking about beats. Do you still want to meet producers, young producers, listen to beats and all that? Is that something you still do?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely always open-minded. That's how we met Dos FX. That's how we ran into Redman, all of these guys, and I'll travel. But it's the ones who are prepared are the ones who get through. Because some people stop and talk to you and say what they have, but then they don't have it on them. Then other cats are prepared. So you have to be prepared at all times because you never know who you're going to run into.
Please listen to my demo.
I mean, who would he be if he were not to listen to someone else's demo?
You know what I'm saying? How could EPMD not listen to somebody's demo?
That's correct. And there's a lot of stories. Because, again, we came in through Sleeping Bag and we did our thing with Strictly Business and Unfinished Business. But then when we went on that Runs House tour, it changed everything. So it took for them to reach back for us. You know, we didn't get charged for no tour bus. You know, everything was just basically free because we were rookies.
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm.
And you guys were on DMC's tour bus. We rode on their tour bus. It's crazy.
And you guys were on Rush Management too, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
But again, rolling with Rush, it starts with Rakim, the Pain in Full single. When everybody was home with no contract at the end, he said, yo, we rolling with Rush. So, you know, where we was coming from, that's the way to go.
We're going to find this Rush guy.
It's so crazy how connected
LL and the Beastie Boys and anybody else over there.
It's just so crazy how connected all of you guys were. Like, it's like East Coast rap at that time was such a small network of people. It's almost insane to think about.
That's correct. And some are still around, and that's the whole purpose. Before it was fun and we benefited, but now with it being the 50th, you know, it looks like it needs some structure, and it takes for the ones who already benefited from it to come back and help out, like somebody helped us out.
Beautiful. Parrish, appreciate your time today, bro. Thank you so much. No,
thanks for having me. Yo, little PDB, I'm going to catch up with you later, man.
Yo, you know, I'm going to hit you up later because I want to get you on, me and Sife, to go more in depth and do some more stuff, man. Always appreciate you, my brother. Always.
Okay, that works, man. Thanks for the time.
Always.
Peace. Take care, bro.
Hey, yo, peace.
That's Parrish Smith, guys. It's a legend right there.
Super legend.
Like the craziness of how connected I am to EPMD, because
you were PMD.
But I was PMD. But remember, PMD only happened. I was Peter from Maryland because I called Marley Marl to win the cassette for So What You Saying.
Right.
So it's double. And then Marley Marl said, Peter from Maryland. And I went, oh, I'm going to be PMD now. So I was always connected. So when at the end there, when he just said little PMD, yo, that goes all the way back to University of Maryland. I was 21 years old and he came in to do promo. And I was like, yo, I'm so excited to meet you. I got to tell you, my name is PMD. And at that time, he's solo. He's going as PMD fully.
Right.
Yo, that was the coolest dude as a kid at that time. The way he treated me, he was like, when he did a drop for my show, he called me the real PMD. Like he just literally lifted me up and was nothing but a kind, wonderful dude.
Well, it's interesting. A, he's always been like that. But B, even when I run into E Serm now, right? When you run into Eric Sermon, they are really two hip hop dudes that are like, yo, man, we appreciate that y'all love this hip hop thing this much.
Always.
Always.
They hear what we talk about. They know, they get it. Like we do so many little hip hop things on this show that, of course, in my crazed brain, I think go wildly underappreciated.
No, they do.
And like, you know, I didn't even mean to be spicy, but I was slightly spicy in Static Selecta's comments a few weeks ago because he put up a thing about hip hop radio and how hip hop radio doesn't have what it used to have. And I'm like, yeah, but when it does have that, no one really points it out or gives it credit. And we do so many little hip hop things on the show, whether it's playing You Gots to Chill. I don't know. How many times a year do we end up playing You Gots to Chill? Or like, you got to play You Gots to Chill.
Four or five minimum. How about this? Yeah. Every day we play J. Rue the Damager, You Played Yourself.
Every day we're playing J. Rue and DJ Premier. And I have never heard a person once go, yo, man, it's kind of cool that y'all play J. Rue the Damager every day in 2024. And so when we see EPMD, what's so nice is they pay attention. Like, they hear the little stuff. Yo, all the old heads are like that, by the way, though. Like, Rakim, all the guys who are around who hear us, they catch it. They catch everything. It's these slightly younger, always complaining hip-hop heads. They have a tendency to be like, there's nothing good out there, especially us, because we're commercial radio. They don't realize that we're like, I don't know, I don't even know how you describe what we are. We're our own little floating star on a planet of commercial, in the universe or galaxy of commercial radio.
Well, I think it's that, but there's also too, you know, as someone who's been doing the commercial thing, and I made a conscious decision to do the commercial thing back in 98, right? Where I was like, okay, the underground cats were always going to be there, and that's a piece of hip hop that will always make sure hip hop is true and focused. But everybody that's in it is angry, disgruntled, and broke, and isn't even able to take care of hip hop the way they want to. That was when I moved into programming and started doing some other things.
Right.
And one of the things that I learned was the function of underground hip hop, the reason it keeps us balanced is because it won't ever appreciate or like mainstream commercial radio. That's its function.
Right.
It's never supposed to give us credit. Matter of fact, it's not even supposed to like us. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like, I get excited when somebody's like, yeah, nah, I don't fuck with that shit. I'm like, word, don't fuck with that shit.
But yeah, at the same time, there's a lot who do, though.
No, for sure. For sure. And they appreciate it. But
Laura,
I,
I'm just saying, but they're, but to Laura's, but they're not loud. They're just not loud.
Right, right, right. Because to your static selected comment, well, static comes to our show.
But I don't think static thinks of us like that.
He comes to our show.
But he doesn't, I think he doesn't think of us like that, I don't think.
But what's he thinking about then? You're talking about commercial radio. You mean he just thinks of us as a commercial radio show?
No, I think he thinks of us as just Ebro, Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles. I don't even know if he know, like, listens to our morning show. He comes on the show, but may not even know that it actually broadcasts in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Like, morning
and
drive.
Doesn't really know what we're doing. But maybe, but Laura, how else would you explain if you actually hear our show regularly? Uh-huh. How would you not, and you're a hip hop head, how would you not sort of include, like, hey, I got to give it up, man. They do a lot of hip hop talk.
But maybe we don't do it enough.
I mean,
no, I just feel like some, because we're not at the center of controversy all the time.
But like, you know what? What am I doing?
Because look, like, Tony Touch was putting out something. He'll call us up, and he knows he'll always have a home. Like, we'll always be like, yes, we say yes to all of the OGs.
Tony Touch, Armstrong, Bobbito.
Yes.
We could run down the list of people that will come to us when they're ready to.
Well, they'll come to. No, they'll definitely come to us when they're ready to talk and promote something. I'm just saying, are they down to give us a little shout out every once in a while?
Yeah, but we're not hip hop enough, I think, on a daily basis. Like, if you were to tune in and listen to the music we're mostly playing, we're playing the mainstream hits while having some hip hop conversations and some features that have a backdrop of hip hop, but we're not off in it every single morning.
Well, I guess maybe I'm taking that for granted. So if you listen every once in a while, you may not catch the super hip hoppy part. For me, though, as someone who lives it every day, I'm like, oh man, we have reference points every single day. Like, if you're a hardcore listener, if you're one of the people who's listening right now on our podcast and you're a hip hop head, they know. They hear it every day. It's in there. By the way, we should always say we do a terrible job of this. For everyone watching live, we got to tell you to hit like and subscribe. If you're new, definitely got to hit that like button.
What happens when you hit the like button?
The like button helps build the video in algorithm and makes it more likely for other people to then find said live.
Okay. And what else are you supposed to do? Hit the like button and then what else?
Well, if you, for some reason, you don't subscribe, like you found us because it popped up, but you don't subscribe, you obviously want people to subscribe as well. But the like is important and we don't do a good job.
Are we in the process of building our internet community so we could turn around and charge people $1, $5, or $12?
We're here again.
If so, we're not doing a very good job of that.
What should we be doing next?
No.
Ebro, I have no idea what we should be doing next. I'm going to keep showing up and hope the check keeps clearing every time.
Well, I've just been summoned. I think I got to go to the pediatrician's office.
Oh, really? Okay. It's that time?
Yeah, mom is unhappy with young Selassie's breathing.
Breathing or the grunting?
Something. No. Read that how you will.
So we're going to go.
Yo,
all right.
I love it. No, you know what? I'm going to give Ebro his flowers. You can go, Ebro. I'm going to give you your flowers whether you're here or not. He's learning how to be a partner because I'm telling you, he's the biggest know-it-all who's ever lived. And the fact that he's getting told, he knows it's okay, but she doesn't want to hear that. She's going to find out for herself
and you're riding along. No. Take it a step further. We've Googled that it's okay. We sent a video to the pediatrician who has responded and said it's okay. We've Googled it again that it's okay.
You're growing up, bro. Because now you're learning about being more than a dad. You're learning about being this is about being a partner. You're just riding. You got to ride.
So we're going to go get in the car right now. We're going to drive the pediatrician off.
All right, man. Have a good time, my G. Proud of you. All right, that's it. Thank you, guys. We enjoyed it.
See y'all next week, Tuesday.
WQHT and WQHT HD1 New York.
Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Hot 97.
Just don't call it a podcast.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey. What's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.